That's what I would think. And then I think we did run one diesel for a little while to try to keep things in balance. And I don't know where we're at with that now, but I think that we're catching up on all the maintenance and everything in the plants and working through those processes.
Robert, can you go back to that diagram you had on Swan that showed for the 10 years on your rainfall records? I have a question. If we were to, on that diagram, looking at the drop-off, where we had essentially, we're, you know, let's say 146 there, then you can go plus or minus, let's say 10%, what have you. If we were to look at using that information into the guide curve, and maybe you already do that, looking at succeeding years, in other words, back in 2018, when that, or you might even say 2017, but let's say 2018, where that really fell off, would that help? In other words, we would adjust that guide curve, preserve more water, I'm thinking out loud now, preserve more water in Ta'i because we were down from a previous year, not knowing what the next year's rainfall level will do, and obviously your prediction models. Would that help us in terms of, you know, not having to shut off the power to the communities, you know, and having the same problem we have? Would that help us at all? In other words, you're changing your guide curve based on your rainfall levels and, you know, previous years.
Before you answer, Robert, is there anybody online? Anybody on the telephone? Go ahead.
So, Bob, that, if I were to just look at that that six-year chart there, that would work amazing if it did that every, if that's how the pattern followed. But if you look at 100 years, sometimes you'll have this 167, or you'll have, let's say you have 146, and then it'll go up to 167. Then the next year 130, then back up to 170. And so there's been significant volatility. It really happens closer to the turn. And when I say the turn, there's always been a drought every 20 years or so. There's always a big drought.
It's cycles, yes.
It's really cyclical. And there's a lot of research being done right now with sunspots and, you know, the atmospheric rivers and all that stuff, and how there's so many moving parts that the models are, it's challenging to try and get good models. But yes, looking at this, we'll pay more attention, absolutely. The challenge we still have is preventing spill at any point.
Right.
And so that's why we try and address it with the curtailed sales and curtailment curve. Right now, the curtailment curve is based on the worst year we've had. So adding 20 feet to that, say, is going to be worse than the worst. Was very conservative. Intent, and Lisa mentioned this last time, is at some point we should be able to be less conservative. And that being is, that will happen and occur the closer we get towards the maximum draft. So in December, we'll have more reliability that, because we already got our September, October rains, that's where we get all our rains. We get that, then we got significant more confidence in how much rain November and January and February, because typically January and February give us none or little to none. It's all snow at Ta'i, for example. And so we can adjust that 20 feet down, utilize still 2018 worst case scenario, but you're basically saying there ain't going to be any more rain, because that's what we typically would get. So it's prudent to have those guide curves the way they are now. They add a lot of contingency. But in December, we're going to revisit those guide curves, reduce that contingency based on confidence. And that confidence being that we already know it's not going to rain. So we don't need to keep 20 feet in there, though we know it's not.
But you already may be maximizing sales, and you might change the draft limit, but you may never get there because you're already maximizing sales. So sales is a component when you get to that area there.
Yeah.
You can move that. You can say, wow, we got 60 feet of extra water in the lake in January, but if you're already making full sales, it's not like you're going to impact that much. It's not like you're curtailing at that time, and then because we're past the curtailment portion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry, I just want to visit something that you said. So you said in December we'll be you'll look at this and then decide if you're going to change the fencing of the average. And then it got a little foggy for me. So that's going to be based on the sales that you are anticipating, or it's based on, I guess what I'm curious about is why we'd be changing that in December, because you feel a level of confidence that your November rains came in and your October rains came in, so we're feeling good about this, so we're going to change our fencing. But if, you know, to me, if there's still the possibility that there can be problems come January, February, no snow, March, no rains. So I guess I'm just curious what factors you're looking at to change that, fencing. I appreciate that it's conservative, but we're also coming through a year where we didn't quite make it. So
this value right here, this is the biggest concern we have every year. Can we make it through this dip? This is the,
right,
the maximum gap. And so if you can see, this is where we typically get our rain, which you're seeing right now this year on a typical year, right? This model right here, the red one, that's what happened last year. That's exactly what happened last year. And that's what we're basing our guide curve on, our curtailment curve on. It flatlined all through here.
Sorry, the bottom one is what happened last year, but we were at 1260 last year. So the bottom, the red one, is not what happened last year.
This is what happened last year based on shifting it up north. So this model was based on last year's inputs. You can shift this wherever you want, but that's how it looked. What I'm talking about is the actual flatness of it.
The actual what?
The flatness of it. Right, so we had a rainstorm here. The model reflects that rainstorm.
Oh, I see.
If you were to take this and put it on top of last year's actual lake levels.
Right. Sorry, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying that was the actual, but the gray is the actual amount of lake level.
Yep.
That's just based off of the, okay, yep.
This is moving down like this because we were making sales out of it. If we hadn't made sales, it would be flat like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this right here, when we curtailed right about here, because this should have been doing this. The lake should have been doing this just like it does every year, like it is doing this year. Right? That's what it should have done for the history of the lake, except for that one drought year. Right? So the lake did, instead of doing what it normally does in September, it went down because we were making sales, but it went flatline, really, even if we didn't make sales. It went flat. And so then we said, okay, we have to curtail. Then it went flat.
No, and I appreciate that. I think what I'm trying to say is, and I see where you're heading now, but my point is that we got into trouble last year because we were basing on it that it's going to get better in October. You know, we're going to get inflows in October and November. And that's how we decided to make sales through July and August and September, was because we were anticipating better in the months that are coming.
Yep.
That didn't happen.
Yep.
We didn't see it coming. We didn't predict it. It was abnormal. It was aberrant. My point is that if we go into January and we adjust based on that it's going to do this in the next 4 months, and we get another aberrant condition that defies what we think is going to happen, and we change from our conservative model going through that time, through this sort of unpredictable time, we could wind up in another precarious position with water levels with Tai'i. So I'm a little bit concerned because what I think I hear you saying, and maybe, go ahead.
The difference there, though, is you're looking at snowpack now.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's up on the hill then, right?
Right, as long as we're not anticipating inflows from rain.
Well, let me, can I just explain it this way?
Yeah.
We are trying to make it through this turn, would you agree?
Sorry?
We're trying to make it through what we call the turn. The maximum draft, we want to have water in there until the snow comes off the hill.
Right. And the snow is a predictable item.
Yep. It's not predictable. It's just the same as rain.
Sorry, but you can judge on.
It's not going to come off the hill.
Right.
So we know there's no rain. Right? So there's no actual water in the lake. So we can really get accurate on how that lake's going to respond based on how we draft it. You see? And so if we draft it like we normally would, let's say the snow there isn't that much snow on the hill. It's still going to refill. We would just back off on it and let it refill faster. So the intent here is you always want to draft a lake as much as you can. And we've went through this over and over again. If you do not draft your lakes and you do get water, you spill that water. So we want to be able to draft them, but we want to increase confidence in drafting. So we don't want to build our guide curves. We want to have more contingency and be more conservative, especially in the months where we have gotten burnt, if you will, in the past, the months where we get most of our rain. And if we get that rain and we start moving into the months where we get no rain, then we can draft it very accordingly, and we would know exactly how it would draft and have a very controlled draft rate and be able to maximize the draft to maximize the fill. So that's intent. And then let's say, like you mentioned, if the snow and rain doesn't come in August or September of the next year, that you would back off way earlier. You would know already. You would have your draft here. You'd be following your guide curve to the fill. You still have your curtailment curve. Right? You still have the same curtailment curve, same fill rate, same all of that. And so really the biggest thing we're trying to maximize is instead of leaving 1280 in the lake based on a 2018. So what's going to happen really is we're not going to get 2018 next year. We'll get something more like probably a 2013, 2014. We've seen it in September. We'll probably see more rains in October. But so if we don't get 2018, this red bottom is going to be more like up here. So not only did we add 20 feet based on the worst case year that we've ever had, we might not be able to dip it down below 1300. And that leaves you barely any room to try and capture the water that you would have. So this is
for the next year.
Yeah. You will have drought years, but you're going to more than likely have 140, 150 inch years as well.
And there's not a big enough bucket up there to have all your generation in it unless you keep the level down.
Once you make it through the turn, you've got all year to do it again.
But will you, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but will you have more confidence in the dip in April and May if you reach your average level of fill in September, October, November?
Because the amount of rain in September, October, November is 1,000% more. It's significantly more than December, January, and February. If you get that rain, you can I can model it with zero rain in January, February, and March. I'd still be better off than modeling it with zero rain in September, October, and November. So you get that rain, and then you adjust your model because your confidence in, even if you say you got zero rain, you still have, you know, the 3 inches versus 0 inches is not the same as the 16 inches we just got, which is what fills the lake. So our confidence goes extremely high. We know that in December we're not going to get any rain anyways. We know what the loads are. We're very confident.
That's a question. Loads. So that's another variable within the equation, mm-hmm. and the impact of the load. So if we're minus 30 for 4 weeks, that ups our loads, at least in Wrangell, because we're predominantly electric heat now. So then that changes the equation yet again. And saying, you know, if we're selling south, we're pulling south, then that. But how does that? How do you deal with the load equation?
So, I mean, worst case scenario, typically you guys are on 8,000 to 10,000 megawatt. Even during the polar vortex,
sure.
You went to maybe 12,000.
Yep.
And so if you think about 2,000 more megawatt hours from Swan Lake or from Taiyi, that's 5 feet. That's a worst case, right? So if you leave 10, 15 feet in there, you're 400% worst case.
Okay.
So you leave contingency. I'm not saying take away contingency.
Okay.
I'm saying reduce that conservatives. leave contingency, but don't be so super conservative that you'll spill all your water.
So I just want to say, obviously, this has been something that I've been extremely concerned about. And I know that Lisa feels the same way. We are not about decreasing efficiency across the system, but we do not want to leave the northern communities shy from their dedicated pool at Tyee. That's all we're asking for. We're not saying make the system less efficient so that we can have a big cushion in Tyee. But by the same token, after this past year, we would like us to approach it in a conservative manner. And I think it was a very conservative, what you proposed was conservative, and I appreciate that. I mean, it was actually, to be honest, better than I was thinking we were going to wind up with. But I just don't want to, I want to be really cautious moving forward that I don't want to spill either, because that's just a waste. But I don't want to wind up in another January, February situation where we're doing everything on our end to make sure that we're prepared. If that has to happen, we're prepared for it. But we really want to ensure that the dedicated power needs for the north end are supplied out of Tyee, and the remaining is sold south so that we can all benefit from those sales. But that's my only point on this. At the end of the day.
Absolutely well taken. That's why we did this, and we became very conservative on it, especially during these critical months. If we don't get September and October rains, it doesn't matter what it does in January, because it doesn't do anything. Or February. It really doesn't do anything. February sometimes 1 inch, but it's two inches of snow. No, so it's not a big month. So we know that the confidence is going up. We know that we're not going to get nothing. So we make this super conservative to say, if we do not get nothing, any rain in September and October, we'll still make it. But if we do get the rain, we got to use it or we're going to spill it.
Right.
That's the intent.
And I think what I hear you saying, just to help me to make sure that I understand, is that our bottom line on the fencing, the red line, is based off of our worst year.
Our worst year plus 20 feet.
Plus 20 feet. And so if following the next year, we have to take the new data and apply it to that. And should we use the worst year continuously, or do we start to use an average? Is that what you're getting at?
I'll probably still use the worst year for quite a while.
Okay. Fair enough. By the worst year plus 20, is that the way?
He's still growing back some.
But by revisiting, this is the key. You can use the worst year, but you can revisit the operations plan. That's why I want to do it back in December, because you can adjust for what you did get. Right, so let's say you did get 30 inches of rain in September and October. You still would want to use the worst year and say, well, we're only going to dip to 1330 now. That wouldn't make sense. It would just be all that water, you know, that we wouldn't be able to use to fill. And if we did get any rain at all, we'd spill.
Mark, you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm trying to jump in here with Steve, but he's doing a good job with I agree with what you're saying. What's been running through my mind is, as a board here, that needs to be, let's say we were dropped back, you know, based on, you know, whatever you come up with. But to me, we as SEPA need to continually monitor those condition changes. In my mind, I was trying to think, what set of criteria I would use to be able to come back to the board or say, hey, it's time that we stop for now to be conservative, to maintain that water in the reservoir, i.e. I'll use Tyee for example, that, and we'll hold it, and we're asking you, board, that we don't send any more south at this point till, and that asking the board members, and that's what I was thinking of, so that we do preserve, you know, and maybe I'm being a little bit conservative here, but preserve some of that water for that condition during that low period you were showing us. And that's the reason my earlier question, I'm looking in my mind for a set of criteria we would use of which to say, you know, SEPA coming back to the community saying, we are to the board saying, we recommend we not sell any more power south, for sake of example, for some period of time, until this recovers to this point. That's what I was, and I think maybe that's where Steve was also thinking too, in that respect.
respect.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually, I'm both ways.
Yeah.
So on one hand, like, I love this. The other hand, I don't want us to let water spill, and right. I want efficiencies. Right. I really do, because you explained that very well. But I also want to be prepared as a community, as for Wrangell, that if we're looking tight for water to get through the season, that we spin up 2 megs or 4 megs today, and we preserve water in Tyee moving forward, so we have that available come January, February, March for peak loads. I want us, you know, that to me is much more advantageous than, okay, we're going to have to spin up all of our generation, you know, in the winter time where failure is not, you know, then we're at that 100% maximum performance all the time. So this, the plan for me just has to include us thinking forward enough with Trey's leadership to get all the communities thinking, let's make sure that we're preserving so nobody's running at 100% capacity or bumping into EPA regulations on air quality. So that we're that, and we had this, I wasn't in the June meeting, I apologize for that, but we had this discussion about the community approach that we're 3 communities and with the overriding organization providing the leadership to make sure that we're balancing all those needs throughout the course of a year, with the goal always being maximum sales to the organization, but also getting us through the year for our power requirements. And I don't know where discussions wound up from that, but I do appreciate that, you know, I think this is excellent. Say that. It is conservative. And Lisa and I have talked about that, and we recognize that. And I know that as we get more comfortable, we'll ease it. It's going to ease. There'll be some easing. But at the end of the day, we've got to get through the year for all 3 communities, and nobody can go dark. So I don't really, I guess I just got nervous when I heard we're changing it up, moving into the fall or December we'll change it up. It just makes me nervous because I don't want to wind up February or March again worried about levels.
I think the key thing to remember, Steve, is that this is a living document, weekly.
Right.
It's never getting dropped or forgotten.
The challenge is weather. It's the one thing we can't. So in order to make a good prediction, we have to keep, weather's only good as, what, 10 days out?
Right.
Sometimes not even. And so the 3-month predictions, they just came out with another one. They said it was going to be above average, temperatures above average rainfall. And now they're saying, well, we'll just go back to equal chance because it's less risk for a predictor.
Say, you know, they're fickle.
Flip point. It's less risk on you. So that's what we work with. So in order to do and make models, you know, more accurate, instead of just doing it for a year, revisit it, especially during your key points in time in your year. There are 2 real key points in times in our year. That's our fill season, which is now, and that's our draft. And our draft, if we use 2018, we didn't get any rain in January or February. So you're already saying you're not getting any rain. You also got a polar vortex in January. So you got the worst loads on history. Mm-hmm. You also got the worst rain on history in January and February. So by using that, you're already super conservative. And then you add a certain, what I'm trying to get at is, instead of being 20 feet, it's actually 30 feet conservative, because you're only drafting the 1280 and you have 30 feet of water in there. We talked about just saving 2 feet at Swan and what a big deal that is. But keeping 30 feet in Tyee for contingency when we already have super, super conservative contingency in it, built in, because we're using the worst thing that's ever happened. It's really hard to say we want to plan for an earthquake and then add, you know, another building on top. But I think we are where we need to be. If for example, we're so far above the green line that it doesn't even make sense anymore. So what does that green line even mean? There's no way you're ever going to touch it. It's time to revisit our operations plan.
Okay.
Do
you have that slide for Swan Lake as well? A similar slide for that?
Swan Lake does not have a curtailment because Swan Lake doesn't typically sail to the north.
They'll use everything they can get in Ketchikan.
The capacity wise, because of the height of Tyee, it has about the twice the amount of capacity, or twice the amount of energy available throughout the year. And it's, it is because of the height of the dam, it's 5 times higher.
So if I could just circle back for a second, Bob, make sure your question was answered, and I think you were asking, well, you were trying to figure out in your head, when would staff come back to the board and say, hey, I think, you know, with regard to the curtailment or non-curtailment, and at this time, we'll use the curtailment curve on there, and I think if we got back to the curtailment curve, I'd be calling a special board meeting. We would be looking at the specific conditions at that time and be making a recommendation to the board. Do we go ahead and curtail, or are we at a point in the year where we're estimating there was no inflows anyway, and worst case scenario, we're still going to make the turn fine? We might make a recommendation to draft it a little further, but at this point, that would be the trigger to engage the board for a further conversation. And lessons learned there is, as we approach those things, we'll call a special board meeting and we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I had in mind. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that might. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
And Trey, the question that I had on you leading the charge here for us, and I know that's an operational thing that you do on your Tuesdays, but just I can't emphasize enough, we need your leadership at the community levels to coordinate the three communities so we're working together so the lights are on.
If I can interrupt, yeah. It's not telling when we turn the diesel on. I think Robert put it better for me than anything else. It's when we turn off the selling of power south. That's your decision, you know, that. And am I saying that right?
Yeah, and it's when we hit the red line. And it states it in the operations plan.
Yeah.
So I think at this point you already gave authority to the organization to make curtailment at the red line.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what Trey's saying is he would still bring a special board meeting and say, hey, it's time, guys. Even though we have authority, there's a lot of things we bring forth in front of the board just for approval, just because it's approved.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another.
Yes, go ahead, Clay.
So, in reference to the graph, I mean, we're doing our darndest to hit a moving target, right?
Okay.
As weather changes and everything like that. And so it just totally makes sense that as things, conditions change, that we would spot check with the board periodically for an adjustment like that. If conditions change, then maybe time to move the graph around a little bit. But for sure, I mean, it's a living, breathing thing, and yeah, we're constantly doing our best to hit a moving target with the best available information. But as that information changes, we'll need to update things.
All right, is there anything else in regards to this? If not, we're going to take a short break. You guys can use the bathroom, refill their coffee, whatever they got to do, and then we'll come back to the next section. Muffin. There you go.